it.
Call it order, Jenny.
Let's get going. We got the conference committee for the game and fish bill. I think what we'll do, we've had some conversation, so we'll start out. We might as well first adopt the identical language, I would say, would be a good move. Anybody want to make that motion?
I will. Are we going to name up the sections by one or just accept this green sheet?
How do you want to do that, Josh? List the sections. And okay, we've got section 12, section 14 through 20.
This is on the house side.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go through and list the identical language. And sections 12, 14 through 20, section 22, 23, and then section 24 has got an effective date immediately, I would imagine. Is that that game refuge one? That's that game refuge one.
And Mr. Chairman, that's a change from the way the bill is written presently.
So do we want to not do that one right now, Representative Jones?
Well, I think we can just
okay.
put it on the record that
yep.
the effective date would be immediately.
Okay, thank you. Sections 28 through 31, section 33, section 36, section 43 through 47, section 49, and section 51.
I'll move.
Representative moves identical language. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah.
Motion carries. Okay. The next thing, why don't we accept language acceptable to both sides? Here we may have to have some discussion. Why don't we start on the House side, sections 3 through 11. Do we want to... We might as well do these all in one motion, don't you think? Some half hour, we could probably look through these. Unless Senator Sackhog, he's not along the way. Let me know.
Yeah, Mr. Chair,
you want to run through these?
The same, yeah.
Senator Sackhog, go ahead.
This is the House language, Senator Sackhog. I was
on the all-terrain. Vehicles, and they define class 1 and class 2 all-terrain vehicles and prohibit youthful operation. Section that's 3 through 6, section 7 authorizes a person at least 11 years of age to take ATV safety training with a certificate becoming valid at age 12. In other words, you can take your training before it becomes effective. And then 8 through 11 prescribe restrictions related to Class 1 and Class 2 all-terrain vehicles.
Do you want to just move that one, Senator Sackhog, or did you want to go through the whole...
If anybody has a... thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, if anybody has any... a discussion on any of those, we certainly could do that. Otherwise, I would move the acceptance of 3 through 11, sections 3 through 11.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that
on the House side.
Line 7.6.
Representative Deal.
That ends on line 7.6, page R6, is that correct?
Yes, Representative Deal, that would be correct.
All right, very fine.
So it's any more discussion? So it's moved by Senator Sackhog to adopt sections 3 through 11. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next one we've got is section 25. It's got some additional clarifying amendments. Somebody want to move that section? Section 25.
I'll move starting on line 11.13, page R10.
Representative Deal, what line was that again?
That starts on 11.13, section 25, page R10. Is that correct? Yep.
Mr. Correct, but
we need a clarifying amendment.
Yeah, Representative Deal, and I think, do we want to take some testimony on this one, Tom? I think from the DNR. We should probably have somebody from the agency come forward. This is the deal about, there was some concern by a number of people about what's commonly referred to as the Go Devil boats that we don't want to... impose some regulations on those. We have some discussion.
And Mr. Chair,
Senator Sackhoff.
We do have two clarification amendments in front of us to the A-17. UEH 3116-1.
Senator Sackhoff, would you like to move one of those amendments?
I will move the A-17.
Senator Sackhoff, was that the one we were going to move? Are we going to move them, end up moving them both? You want to move them one at a time? Okay. Let's move the A-17 amendment. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we've got the A-17 amendment before us. Mr. Boggess.
Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, Ed Boggess, DNR Division of Fish and Wildlife, provision that's in the bill is designed to give the commissioner clear authority to regulate on lakes designated for wildlife management purposes, and there's 39 of those in the state right now. We go through a public process to designate those lakes with public notice, public hearing. It gives us authority to manage the water levels on those lakes for waterfowl and other aquatic wildlife. We've had a provision in that statute since the late 1990s, it allows us to regulate motorized boats and watercraft on those lakes through posting at public accesses. As our commissioner was looking at this language this last summer, he felt like existing law only gave authority to either totally prohibit motorized watercraft or totally allow. And the intent in that law at the time, actually that it was amended, it was Senator Frederickson who had offered the amendment, and the understanding at that time was that it would allow regulation of certain types of watercraft at certain times of the year, things like jet skis and things like that. So we brought in the bill language that would very specifically talk about the types of restrictions that the commissioner could put on watercraft by posting the access. The amendments that before you, this first one would just say that before we did any of those restrictions permanently, we would have to go through another public process and notice to do that. Mr. Chairman, the issue that you raised on the restrictions on certain types of watercraft, like the what are called the go devils or the mud boats, is in the I think the other amendment that is not before you yet, so I don't know if you want to wait, or are they both before you?
You know they're not, Mr. Boggess. Why don't we get the one adopted? Questions on the A-17 amendment? Mr. Helen.
Mr. Chair, that's drawn to the Senate language, the Section 15, which is a cross from Section 25, so I think what we'd want to do is adopt Senate language, Section 15, and then this amendment would fit as paragraph C for that section.
Okay. So, Senator Sackhoff, you want to amend your motion then? You'll make your motion to Section 15 of the Senate language.
Mr. Chair, I would make that motion to amend the A-17 to Section 17 of Section 15 of the Senate file.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Dill.
And I'll withdraw my motion on Section 25 of the House language.
All right.
I moved that originally.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Representative
Dill. No, I was thinking of Senator Sackhoff.
So that. I'll withdraw that motion. We'll go with the Sackhoff motion.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now, Representative Dill, did you want to move the UEH 3116-1?
Yes, I'll make that motion, and I have a question.
Representative Dill.
Okay, Mr. Boggess, you referred a few times to the watercraft and not the motor. Now, the watercraft, the boat, is one piece of equipment, and the motor is another piece of equipment. And I'm just wanting a clarification of what you meant. Several times you referred to a go-devil watercraft. when you were speaking, and I want to make sure that we're not talking about, we're talking about a Go Devil motor, because someone could have the same watercraft and have a different type of outboard or different type of propulsion on it. I just want a clarification on that and how you interpret this.
Mr. Boggess.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, I did not intend to imply that those types of motors could only be used on a certain type of watercraft. The language in the UEH 3116-1 amendment makes it clear that before the commissioner could restrict any type of motorized watercraft or recreational vehicle, that it would have to be for the purpose of minimizing disturbance to wildlife or protecting wildlife habitat. And we think this would get at the concern that we've heard on the mud motor type restriction, where we've heard that people are concerned that this would give the commissioner authority restrict those types of motors without a resource management purpose on a designated wildlife lake. So this would make it clear that before that restriction could be imposed, the commissioner would have to make a finding that it was necessary to minimize disturbance or protect habitat.
Representative Dill.
So I just want to make sure I've got it right. This amendment, and I agree with what we're trying to accomplish, but it's irrespective of the way it's proposed. I mean, an outboard motor could fall under the same as a Go Devil or a... So irrespective of that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, that's
Mr. Vargas.
Thank you.
All right, further discussion? All those in favor of UEH 3116 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, amendment adopted. Okay, and then did we move then, Mr. Helen? We've done that. That takes our 25. Section 26 and 27, I believe that we probably need Colonel Hamm before us on this one. Is this our lovely deer, and I believe it is, isn't it?
And Tennis Bill.
This is Representative Tennis's bill about Representative Sikora's dog deciding to go after a deer. Colonel Hamm, welcome to the Game and Fish Committee.
Mr. Chair and members of the Conference Committee, Colonel Mike Hamm, Chief Conservation Officer at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Questions for Colonel Hamm? Colonel Lamb, you want to run through a little bit about what's before us? I'm not sure if any of the committee members are not aware of it. Or
well, Mr. Chair and members, on the House side, the left side, page R12, section 26, and it is like line 12.8, which talks about the... 12.7, 12.8 talks about a petty misdemeanor and is subject to a civil penalty of up to a maximum of $500 for each violation. And then it goes on to say that if the dog is continuously pursuing the deer or the animal, that it is a $100. Mr. Chair and members, when the department originally brought this language to the legislature, the only thing that we were asking for as a department is to remove the words up to, which would be in line 12.8, and at that time it under original language is just before the $500. The reason we did that, members, is because we were struggling with the legislature gave us the ability to if we wanted to do 200 or 300 or 400, at least that's what it looked like by the language. But in reality, there was no process for us to use as a department or an agency to pick a number. And so for years, we were just operating under a $300 figure. And so the petty misdemeanor was out there. The civil penalty was $300. And when it was brought to our attention that the language says up to, and how did you come about using the $300 figure, we just made the decision that we would use the $500 figure because we had no public process to pick the $300. I can share with you that I don't know of a case that where we did both a petty misdemeanor and a civil penalty. But clearly the law allows us to do both. But I don't know of a case where an officer has. And the other thing is we don't do a lot of these things as an agency. So again, our main intention to bring in front of the body was to just remove the words up to and do the 500. And then it kind of got a life of its own, both in the Senate and in the House. The $100 for pursuing came about, and you know, that sounded reasonable to us. We certainly don't have any objection if the legislature thinks that a dog that is just continually pursuing and never captures or never kills the animal, that it would be a civil penalty of $100. That seemed reasonable to us. So what we would be looking for, Mr. Chair, is just clear direction from you and the members of the legislature on the dollar amount that you'd want us to do.
Okay. Thank you, Colonel. Senator Coobley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Colonel Hinn. On line 1210, I guess, how do you define continuously? I mean, I guess my concern is that it sounds a lot like perpetuity.
Mr. Chair and Senator, we would take into account if the dog is pursuing to the point that it's catching up to the animal or the animal is becoming so weak. Typically what happens is these only happen when there's a hard crust snow. It doesn't happen in soft snow because the dog can't keep up with the deer. And so it's only when the deer can break through the crust of the snow and the dog can run on top of it. And so if the owner is anywhere around and is making an effort to pull that dog off the deer, I know of no cases where there's been any action because the owner is going after the animal and trying to pull off. Rarely is that the case. Rarely does it happen when you're out taking your dog for a walk and in a crusted snow situation, some deer take off and the dog takes off and the handler can't stop the dog. Most of the time that we're dealing with dogs killing deer situation, these dogs are a long ways away from home and rarely is there an owner around.
Thank you.
Representative Dill.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, remind me, did we have a motion to move Section 26 and 27 then?
Representative Dill, I do not think those two sections have been moved yet.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Section 26 and 27 and then offer an oral amendment, which would be on line 12.7 and 12.8. And I'd like to remove after a big game animal and then remove is guilty of a petty misdemeanor and then it would read a big game kills or pursues a big game animal and is subject to a civil penalty only. To remove the petty misdemeanor language.
Get rid of hand. Okay, so Representative Dill moves adoption of sections 27 and 28 with the deletion 26 and 27. Oh, I was going to have moved something else here, Jim. And then deletion on lines 12.7 and 12.8 of is guilty of a petty misdemeanor.
And
Mr. Helen, you've got that?
That's my motion.
Discussion. Representative Hackbart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just so members know, we're changing what is current law. And I support it, but I just want people to know that we are changing current law, not something that was added into the language.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Saxon.
Colonel Ham. Which of the two languages, two bills, the House or the Senate, does the DNR prefer? Is there any...
Colonel Hamm. Mr. Chair and Senator, by looking at the... it's more closely aligned to the Senate side, and to the point of Representative Dill's motion. If the motion were also to continue to get rid of the up to a maximum of, because we came here to get rid of the up to, and then it would say it's subject to a civil penalty of $500. And then that kind of aligns both sides, Senator.
Yeah.
Senator Saxon.
Well, for purpose of discussion, Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if maybe Representative Dill might want to make that
make that amendment to the Senate side
To the Senate side.
Representative Deal, do you want to withdraw your previous amendment and make a new amendment?
Well, yeah, I'd have to then withdraw moving Section 27. And then we would have to... what section is that in the House side?
Well, Mr. Chairman?
The Senate side.
Representative Hackbart.
Why don't we just a suggestion... not move this at this time, and when we take up the Senate language, then we'll talk about that. Make them.
Okay. Representative Dill, you okay with that?
Yep.
Okay, I think we know where we're headed.
So we're going to take out, Mr. Chair, the up to as well when we get back to it.
We'd have to be looking at the Senate side.
Okay.
When we get to the Senate side, Representative Dill, we'll go over that.
Okay. Well, my goal is just to have a civil penalty.
I think we understand that. So we'll take up...
We still need to move Section 26, and I had moved that previously.
Let's see. Representative Dill, I wonder...
Mr. Helen, if we're going to do this 20, why don't we just do it, or should we still do it? We can take 26.
Okay, Representative Dill, you've got Section 26 before us. Any discussion on Section 26? All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now we'll move ahead, so we've got to remember we've got Section 27 yet to deal with. Okay, Sections 35 and 37 would be next on the House side. And they deal with... this is this fun one. Okay. Who wants to deal with this one? This is the unaided visual or vocal contact. I can move this one. This was my one that I discussed at length, and Representative Holberg actually had, I think, Section 35. We can probably move these together. And you know what? And 37, these are actually unrelated, aren't they? Let's do 35 first. Let's do one at a time. Senator Saxhawk, did we talk about this one? There was a little bit different language. Oh, we've got the or. This is the one. Otherwise, you're going to have two people walking down the cornfield, seven rows apart, and they could give a kid a ticket because mom or dad wouldn't be able to see them from the cover of the corn. So we put the word or in there instead of and. Colonel Hamm, are you okay with that? The House language where we've got the word or. This is a little bit of a change. Representative Holberg had a problem with the word control. So that has been deleted on the House floor, Colonel Hamm. That's been since we last discussed that in committee.
Mr. Chair and members, again, you're talking page R16 and section 35, line 15, 23, 24, and 26.
Correct, Colonel.
And actually the whole section there. Mr. Chair and members, this language, we can certainly enforce this language. It's important for you to remember, and I understand the situation when it's visual or vocal. You just need to know that there are a lot of accidents out there where somebody just plain and simple didn't see. The youth plain and simple didn't see the dad sitting three corn rows over because of the corn rolls. And so giving them one or the other, they'd be able to talk to each other, but they wouldn't necessarily be able to see. Visual and vocal, of course, tightens things up even tighter. Now, I can understand maybe some of the other concerns that you would have with that, but I just wanted to let you know that it's when we don't have those two components together in the firearm safety class out in the field in a hunting situation, we do certainly run the risk of accidents. And more times than not, it's the youth that is involved in the shooting situation that is being mentored by the adult.
Thank you, Colonel Hamm.
Discussion, Chair.
Representative Dale.
I just have a question about the whole section, and it says on line 1525, a person under the age of 16 may possess a firearm without maintaining unaided visual or vocal contact with a parent or guardian, and then go down to 15.31, while a person is participating in an organized target shooting program with adult supervision. Now, what does that mean? Because, I mean, I'm thinking of the Minnesota State trap shoot, and my son's here in the audience, and about five kids shoot together all the time, and there's, I mean, there's no adult supervising them.
Mr. Chairman, members, they would not be affected whatsoever. I heard the conversation on the House floor.
I tried to get a clarification.
And the clarification is certainly that they can be in an organized youth event without the parent being there, because there is adult supervision that is there, and they're covered. This doesn't affect them.
Thank you.
They can continue that practice.
Is it Senator Cooley?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I tend to agree with Colonel Hamm. Just, I guess, you know, it's a difficult situation in hunting accidents when you're putting a kid in the ground. I guess, I suppose if I were not in the other occupation and involved in visual or vocal would be adequate, but I don't like putting kids in the ground, so I'm going to opt for unaided visual and vocal contact, the Senate language.
Okay, so Senator Cooley, you just want to move to online. We've got the House language before us. Would you like to move the word "or" be deleted on line 15.24 and insert "and"? You want to substitute the Senate language?
That would be my preference.
Okay, all right. Okay. Senator Cooley moves that we substitute the Senate language for the House language. Discussion. Discussion.
Well, the parent never recovers.
Senator Cooley, okay.
You know, Mr. Chair, when a child dies in a hunting accident or any other way, the parent never recovers. It's just, I mean, I realize it may seem extreme to some of you, but on the other hand, it's only extreme to you if it's not your child we're putting in the ground.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dale.
Well, I certainly don't want to be difficult here, but in many situations where my son and I have been pheasant hunting in a standing cornfield and there's a little bit of wind blowing, you can't hear because there's so much noise, you'd have to be in the row next to you to be able to, if you change the word "and," so you had unaided visual and vocal contact. I mean, 10 rows away in a 10 mile an hour wind in a cornfield, you can't hear the other person even at a shout. So, I mean, that's the only place I'm struggling with your suggestion.
Mr. Chair and Representative Dill, I guess, I've been in that situation too, even though my son-in-law often accuses me of being in the shoot and release program, but while your voice may not travel too well in those circumstances, the pellets from the end of a shotgun do.
Colonel Hamm. Mr. Chair and members, it's also important to remember that this is for somebody that is actually under the age of 13, because at age 14 and 15 with the firearm safety certificate, they can go out by themselves.
Yep.
We're talking about youth that are under 13.
Under 13.
Good point.
Yeah, okay.
Further discussion? All those in favor of the Cooley Amendment to accept the Senate language, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion does not have a majority on both sides. It's not adopted. So we're back to the House language here. And that was my motion. Let's. All those in favor of adopting Section 35 of the House language, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. So we haven't got that. Colonel Hamm, right now you're back to the original language. Let's move on, Colonel Hamm, and we'll leave this one until later. We'll set it aside for now.
Yeah.
I like we may be past midnight. Okay. Let's see, next, Section 37.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hackbart.
We have this 1749 amendment, and Representative Broad is here, and this amendment contains her issue, and I think we could cut her loose if...
Representative Hackbart, you want to make a motion?
I would move the 1749 amendment. 1749 amendment is meant to be technical changes. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman and members, it was drafted by the reviser's office to make technical changes to the bill on both sides. There was an issue with the department and Representative Brad's piece of that, and I think you have an oral amendment to fix that.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Ackbar,
on after line 11, I would insert, this section is effective July 1st, 2007. My amendment to the amendment.
Okay, you, Mr. Helen, you've got that?
On the amendment, line 11.
Okay, Representative Ackbar, can you run through us just what the effect of that is then?
The French Lake issue on the spearing on French Lake in the bill, on the amendment, section 60, rather than putting this in statute, we take care of that issue through rulemaking.
All right.
And it would be effective with my amendment to the amendment July 1st, 2007.
Further discussion?
The rest of the issues in here are purely technical.
Okay. All those in favor of the Hackbart Amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Broad, I think you're in the clear.
Bye.
Okay. Now we're back to Section 37. Correct? Okay. Section 37. This was, I think we should have Colonel Hamm on this one again. Is this not where we're defining further the firearm? Does anybody have any questions on this one? It's given the COs more authority. Right now, I think it just lies with... why don't you explain it, Colonel?
Well, Mr. Chair and members, Section 37 on R-17 deals with, if I'm reading it correctly, the ability to hunt fox from January 1 to March 15 using an artificial light. If the person is on foot, is using a shotgun... is not within a public road right away, is using a handheld or electronic device, and is more than 200 feet from a motor vehicle.
Thank you, Colonel Hamm. I had it mixed up with another one. And Senator Kubley, was this one you had an interest in on the Senate side, I believe?
It is not.
It is not. Okay, I had it mixed up.
You're talking Section 37?
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion on this?
So I'll move Section 37, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Beal moves Section 37. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next one we have Section 40. We want to keep this. Section 40, and if I'm not mistaken, we do not... this is the one that deals with the muzzleloaders and... I believe this was a House. Does somebody on the House want to move this change? Representative Ackbar, you had an interest here. This is the muzzle loaders. I believe we do not want to adopt lines 32 and 33.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Section 40, and we would delete lines 32 and 33. Is that correct, Mr. Hamm? Is that Mr. Meyer?
Yes, sir.
Move Section 40, and I would incorporate deleting lines 32 and 33.
And so that I understand that, Representative Hackbart, that would not outlaw the inline muzzleloaders as they currently. That would continue to allow that type of hunting with the muzzleloader in the muzzleloader season.
That's correct.
Okay. Discussion to that? All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next one we've got sections 41 and 42. Let's do these one at a time. Section 41 was Representative Hansen's bill in the House, and it does not have a Senate. That dealt with reporting of deer. We've had a few situations where like a fallow or some other one of these exotic deer has been taken. Representative Hackbart?
I'd move that.
Okay, Representative Hackbart moves Section 41. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Section 42 deals with fishing motorboats restrictions in certain areas. Anybody got an interest in that one? I'm trying to find where we're going. This one is subject to rulemaking. Colonel Hamm or Mr. Meyer, you got any thoughts on this one, or is this one pretty straightforward?
Mr. Meyer, if you want to come forward and identify
yourself. Mr. Chair, members, Bob Meyer, DNR. This provision came from the DNR. It allows us the ability to do rulemaking for posting water bodies for fisheries research management. It's something we identified later on after the bill was introduced, and we put it in the bill is already on a state government operations committee in the Senate, so we put it on the House bill.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Questions for Mr. Meyer? Somebody want to move that section?
I'll move it, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hackbart moves, is it section 42?
Yes.
Section 42. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Section 48. Oh, section 48 is the interest of the hooks. Gives the commissioner some latitude on that.
Mr. Chairman, I need this.
Okay. Yeah. In more ways than one, Representative Hackbart. I want to move section 48. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Section 53. Oh, here we are, Senator Kubley. Section 53. Senator Kubley, you want to move section 53?
I would, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley moves section 53. It deals with coyotes bounty. Is there any discussion? And I believe, Josh, I've got an amendment to this part. Why don't we put it on here that deals with as we try and get a hold of the control of the coyotes and the impact. I think it gives us an opportunity where we may be able to have a better opportunity to hunt pheasants late in season. If we get rid of the coyotes and the fox, we might be able to get a few more pheasants. And I'd like to move the A06-1754 amendment deals with asking the DNR to give us a report on the possibility of allowing three rooster pheasants after the first 2 weeks of the season. Any discussion on the A06-1754?
Yes,
I'll wait till you get it, Senator.
Here,
I just wondering on line 24.27 after the word coyotes, if we could include the gray wolf.
Representative
Dill, a little havoc up in my area.
Representative Dill, I do not believe that we could do that because if I'm not mistaken, it would be against the law to openly be shooting the gray wolf at this point in time. Someday that may happen.
Then I won't pursue that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Further discussion. Senator Cooper, are you okay with that? It's just asking the DNR to study the possibility to allow those of us who like to hunt pheasants late in season to see if we could be like our neighbors to the south, our neighbors to the west, both south and North Dakota.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't have any objection, although it takes me most of the season to get one day's limit.
Okay. Senator Kubley, I think I'm going to withdraw the amendment for right now and we'll first adopt your section 53, right. Then I'll move the amendment. Mr. Gackle has just mentioned that to me. Is there any further discussion on Senator Kubley and Representative Peterson's interest in allowing some local control with the counties there? All those in favor of section 53 say aye.
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 Opposed? Nay. Motion carries. I'd like to move... Pardon me?
Was that a vote nay from your part?
Oh, did I say nay? I didn't mean to be, so I cracked that. You cracked the voice vote? I don't know if we can do that.
I was just wondering.
No, I was just asking if anybody was nay. I was a yes. He said it was a yay. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to keep moving here, Mr. Chair. I'm like you. You know how you...
You're doing good.
Keep moving, and
keep rolling.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Thought as well, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. I'd like to move the A06-1754 amendment as previously discussed.
Disagreeable with the department, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley, what was that again?
Is your amendment agreeable with the department?
Yes, we had a discussion with Mr. Meyer. This is actually a huge concession on my part, Senator Kubley. If I had my way, it would be adopting it in statute, and we'd be shooting three of them this fall after the first 16 days. But.
Well, Mr. Chair, in order for me to be able to meet this, I might need that light on my gun.
and Dill wouldn't want to have any gray wolves around. Okay. All those in favor of the A6-1754 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
amendment adopted. Okay. Section 56 through 59 deals with all-terrain vehicles, snowmobiles, private land, deer hunting.
I'll move that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bill moves sections. Oh, you know what? This is, we better do one at a time, Representative.
56.
56 is
the snowmobile.
On the private land issue. Anybody got any? Go ahead, Mr. Helm.
No,
we're okay.
Is the Senate language the same, or?
Oh, did we adopt this?
Pretty similar.
Or is it just effective dates, or? Just saying here. Maybe we already. But we did not adopt this anyway. Even if it is the same, we need to
adopt the private use on private land.
Right, we do need to adopt.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Gackle,
I would just, if Mr. Boggess could, I'm just looking at the side by side summary he put together. If there's some small word, because anything that was identical, he listed as identical. In section 56, he did not list as identical. So.
Mr. Boggess.
Mr. Chair, I believe when I did the unofficial side-by-side, that I was not aware this was in the Senate bill. I thought it was only in the House thing.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was informed by the revisor's office earlier this evening that if you look on the top of the side-by-side here on page R27, you'll see it lists Senate File 3053. This is a bill that passed the Senate floor.
Oh, okay.
Separate from the Game and Fish bill.
Okay, so we do have it on both sides. And was it Representative Bill moved? Any further discussion?
Okay.
All those in favor of adopting Section 56, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Section 56 adopted. Section 57, spring turkey season.
I'll move it.
Representative Hackbart moved Section 57. It allows turkey hunting until sunset. Currently, we're at 5 p.m. As you know, the turkeys are becoming more and more popular. We've moved from, I believe it was noon to 5, and now as many other states are hunting them until sunset. Discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair, could
Senator Coobley.
Could we take three of those after 16 days? That's quite a bit better.
Well, there's a lot of them, Senator Coobley, around. That might be a stretch, though. That might get Mr. Boggess a little excited.
All right. Sounds good, Mr. Chair.
All in favor of adopting Section 57, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 57 adopted. Let's see here. We got 58. This looks like something technical.
And so,
what do we got going on here? Is Mr. Boggess?
This is steering.
Senator Saxon.
In line with England.
Oh, okay. And Senator Saxon, do you want to move that?
Move that.
Okay,
move
Senator.
58.
Senator Saxhogs moves 58. That's conforming with the fishing with the spearing.
So, Mr. Chair?
Representative Dill.
Colonel Hamm, that gets it out there 2 weeks or so, doesn't it? Is that about the length of time it extends the spearing season then?
Mr. Chair and Representative Dill, I believe that's correct.
Somewhere in that neighborhood?
It would depend upon the month.
Okay. Mr. Boggess, you want to give us a little input there?
Mr. Chair, members, I think the answer to Representative Dill's question, I think it's about a week on average because it's the third Sunday now and this would be the last Sunday. I'm just wondering as I'm looking at this if we're referencing back the right section, Section 58.
Mr. Boggess, you want us to lay this one over for a few minutes while you look at it?
Just, Mr. Chair, if you could just give us a second to make sure.
Okay, we'll stand by for a second. Representative Dill.
And Mr. Boggess, it was my intent when this got done that we have a simultaneous ending. So, however that...
Mr. Chair and Representative Dill, that's what the bill would do, and this particular section would just allow us to change our rules that reference that date so that it corresponds to the statutory change, but it would make it the same as the angling season.
Thanks. You want to look that over for a minute, Mr. Boggess? Okay. We could stop for about 30 seconds. I think we're rolling pretty good. Well, while they're thinking about it, why don't we look Section 59. This looks like this is...
I'll move it, Mr. Chairman. It has to do with Class 2 all-terrain vehicles that we created earlier.
Creating that class is another part of that. Questions, concerns on Section 59?
Mr. Chair, I'm
Senator
not sure.
Cooper.
What is a Class 2 all-terrain vehicle? I don't even know.
Representative Hackbart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Kubley, earlier in the bill, some language we already adopted, we're creating a Class 2 all-terrain vehicle and putting it in a statute right now. There is no classification for these. An ATV is where these, they have these side-by-sides, they have a steering wheel now rather than handlebars, that sort of thing. I can't remember what some of them are called. Prowlers, rangers, those kinds of things. And we're restricting them to certain types of trails. And this is just a continuation of sections 3 and 4, I believe, that we adopted earlier. 3, right. 4, 5, and 6.
Another popular one is the John Deere Gator, but Representative Pennis doesn't like us using that word around the House floor.
She likes Rangers.
She doesn't like ex-Minnesota Maid, and good for her. Further discussion on Section 59. All those in favor of Section 59 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Back to Section 58. Mr. Bogus.
Mr. Chair, in checking the language in the bill and the cross-reference to where the good cause exemption could be used to amend the rules, it should be on line 26.13, it should be referencing section 51 of the bill, which is the spring season change, rather than section 45.
Okay, 51. And was that Senator Saxon? Did you? Who moved this one? Was it Representative
Bill?
Senator Saxon. You want to make that? Senator Saxon amends his motion to cross out 45 on line 2613 and replace 51.
So moves, Mr. Chair.
Discussion? All those in favor of Section 58 say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. Section 61, I think, just deals with an effective date. I'll move Section 61. We already did that?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Gackle.
If you remember in the beginning, identical language. We have that effective language. Effective immediately, it's for the refuge. The game refuge section of the bill. It'd be section 24 of the House language. I'm just not, if Mr. Helen could tell us if we need an effective date in section 61.
Thank you, Mr. Gackle. Mr. Helen would like us to wait till the end on that so that to be sure if there's any other effective date. So why don't we lay that one over? Let's see, I think the next thing we've got is a motion to adopt language acceptable to both sides from the Senate side. So let's go back. We've got Section 9 on the Senate side. Section 9 on the Senate side, Senators, deals with muzzleloader season.
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, it was a Senator Saxon? I didn't even
Yes,
Senator Saxon.
I think Section 9, actually, both sides, both the House and the Senate, were very close on that. I think that we had cleaned up our grammar slightly and thought it might be a little bit cleaner match, and so that's why I think that Section 9 is on there.
Further discussion, department's okay with that?
Hold it one second, Mr. Chairman.
Adopt the House language, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I think that section was identical language. I think the section you're looking for was the shed antler.
Are we off maybe on our numbers here?
Yes.
We've got section 9. What section, Mr. Bogus, should we be looking at?
Do you have a number for it, Mr. Chairman?
Why don't you keep looking for it, Mr. Bogus, and we'll move on to
Section
30. You know what? We're going to wait because we've got that one right now farther. Let's move to sections 14 through 17. And actually, we've already adopted, I believe, Section 15, so we'd be dealing with, let's just do Section 14 first. This is the game refuge issue. You know, members, this is one where this was brought forward by the agricultural community. I believe that's this one. if I'm not mistaken, and correct. And they are here if anyone has any questions. It's allowing some flexibility in the agricultural area where the landowners would like to actually have the game refuge potentially be looked at reverting back. And there is somebody here on behalf of the agency who want to take listen to any of that. Anybody have any questions on that one? One, the one we're on right now. Okay. Time out. Okay. Okay, am I on the wrong one now then, Josh, or we're still on?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Saxhot.
Sections 14 to 17 on the Senate side deal with procedures for confiscation of property seized, and I think we were going to explore the Senate side of those, and in fact we're looking forward to having Colonel Hamm give us a rundown on those particular sections.
Okay, Colonel Hamm, why don't you do that? Come forward and give us that testimony.
Mr. Chair and members, beginning with Section 16, I believe, Senator, is the procedure for confiscation. Again, it's page R10 on the Senate side. And what this would do, Mr. Chair and members, is it would change a little bit the procedure that the Department of Natural Resources and Division of Enforcement would utilize on property that conservation officers confiscate. So if we're talking about a firearm or a trap or a fishing rod or anything that is a physical property, sections 16, section 17 on page R11 deals with how we as a division would reimburse an individual if we were to lose that property. Rarely does it happen that we lose the property. This is Senator Pariseau's language. I did address this in the Senate committees, various committees, and then had an opportunity to visit with Senator Pariseau in her office later on, last month actually, and it had explained to her that the confusing part that it would put on us on the division is that we would somehow have to come up with a value of what is the replacement value of that shotgun that we confiscated and somehow lost. Now again, I can think of one time in the 30 years that I've been a conservation officer that it has happened. I'm sure that it's happened, you know, more than just the one time over 30 years. It just does not happen very often. But this language changes how we would have to go get, somehow come up with what the value would be. As an example, line 7.1 on page R11, the commissioner shall reimburse the person for the full value of any seized or confiscated property that is sold, lost, or damaged. And there's not a process that we have in place as a department to be able to establish what that value is. Now, according to today's standards, what happens if this were to happen? The individual would file a tort claim. And there are all kinds of things set out in a neutral process for a tort claim. And in fact, there's even a legislative claims process that is out there. And that has served us quite well. That's not to say, and I told Senator Pariseau, that's not to say that we couldn't follow this, but there would be some growing pains in doing so, because when we would have to invoke this, how do you put a value on a gun that you confiscated that is rusty, and we would have to struggle with that. And right now we don't have to struggle with that. It does not, unfortunately, and the senator and I discussed this, it does not specifically address what some of her concerns were. And some of her concerns were when we confiscate illegal animals that have been taken because somebody has taken them without a license or has violated the game and fish law, that falls under our contraband. And I am quite frankly very reluctant to go in and start dealing with definitions of contraband, and they clearly are different. When you shoot the deer and you don't have a license, and the conservation officer takes the deer and disposes of that deer immediately, whether we give it to the VFW cooties feed or we dispose of that animal, it's gone. We hang on to the shotgun, the individual goes to court, and somehow through the court process, the case is dismissed, we return the shotgun. But we don't return the deer. Because the deer is contraband, the deer is not property, the deer is contraband. And so there are two classifications that are out there, and this does not deal with when we start dealing with fish over the limit, animals in closed season, animals in closed hours, and quite frankly, we think that the current law serves the people of Minnesota quite well on that. So to summarize, this does create some problems for us. We certainly could figure out how to do it, but we actually think that current law has served us very well. And I don't know that at least in the last 3 years that we've been in front of the Legislative Claims Commission within the Enforcement Division, maybe once on a really old case on minnows or something, or walleye in a lake out west or something, but not over enforcement action.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Colonel Hammond. Does that also apply to confiscated property that is sold? How frequently would that happen, and is that done by auction or?
Mr. Chair and Senator, we have a firearms auction probably every couple of years. And so we don't release those firearms until they have been through the court process and through the at least preliminary stages of appeal. In other words, if it goes through the court process and then somebody makes a motion to appeal it, we hang on to that property. It does not go to the auction block. And so we hang on to it. But that would be that could be another case that you're talking about, because it would be actual property. And again, the legislative claims and the tort claim process has served us well. What we would be dealing with is coming up with a value on our own.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Colonel Hamm. I guess I just don't know a lot about why this is done, but, you know, is that done to collect a fine that the person is unable to pay, or why is confiscated property sold?
Mr. Chair and Senator, it's in law on the process on how to dispose of confiscated property. So once the decision is made by either the conservation officer or the court that the piece of equipment, the shotgun, is not going to be returned to the individual, then it needs to be disposed of according to a state process, which this doesn't address at all. This isn't addressing how we have to get rid of that confiscated property. This addresses property mostly that we have probably lost in the process, and again, we're pretty good at our inventory.
Senator Youngbaugh.
Well, I guess Mr. Chair and Colonel Hamm, Senator Parasol was pretty specific about a couple examples she shared with us on this issue, and if it's as rare as you would claim, I would find that it probably is not a big deal to put this language in. But there's a lot of other industries, if you will, towing, other things where they have to take pictures of the inventory, they have to keep track of things when they confiscate things, they tow it. So I don't think it should be that big of an issue, and if there is some things lost, well, maybe some things need to be changed within the department.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator, if it's lost right now, what we have out there is there is either a tort claim process or there is the legislative claim process that is setting the value of it. So either way, we are going to have to pay for the lost item. If this language changes, it says that on line 7172, and and throughout the document, somehow we're going to have to, we as a division and department are now going to have to establish what the value of that property was. And quite honestly, we stayed distant from that to allow other people so that we wouldn't be making any kind of a biased decision saying, well, you know, we think it's worth $50 less than what you're seeing. We would much rather the tort claim process and the current process we have out there say, it's worth this much, that's what you're going to pay, department, instead of us getting into the negotiation of it with the attorney or with the owner. But you are correct. I mean, we would not invoke it a whole lot, but when we do invoke it, that is, I just want you to be aware of, that's the problem we're going to come up with, is setting the value.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair, and Colonel Hamm, it seems like this really pertains to somebody that doesn't end up with a conviction and something got lost, and to go through the other system that's currently in place seems like it puts a lot more onus on the person that isn't convicted, and you know, maybe gives the department more of an out, so it doesn't seem like it's, and I'm having a hard time finding in here where you have to come up with the value.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator, it is silent, so it would be us working with the person that is that's going to be making the claim against the department. I mean, somehow we'll have to sit at the table and come up with something, because there isn't any other option in here saying where we would need to go. I don't think that we would probably use the legislative claim process or tort process anymore. That's all.
Representative Bill.
Okay, Colonel Hamm, today we on the House floor we passed a claims bill, and that's where we is that the claims bill that you're referring to here? You keep referring to a claims bill and where we appropriate the money to pay certain claims, and that's the same bill?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I'm sure that it is. I mean, that's the at least that's the type of language, and I'm sure you're right.
Okay. Further questions on this issue? And what we actually have before us is sections 16 and 17. 16 through 19. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hackbart.
Question for Colonel Hamm. I'm a huge proponent of not trying to fix a pig. But I'm going to try to fix this pig. And I want your opinion. If we take out, for example, on 7.1, full value of, does that help at all?
Colonel Hamm, take your time.
You sound like Jeopardy.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I think that's working towards fixing the pig, yes.
Representative Hackbart.
For any, let's see, what would that say? The commissioner shall reimburse the person for any seized or confiscated. Take out the word "the" too, I believe. The full value of.
Mr. Helen, you have that?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
On page R11, it's section 17. It's going to be, the section would be 16 through 19.
The new, yeah.
But on the document, it's line 7.1. After 4, take out the full value of. And there's a couple other places you have to do that, or at least one other place on line 17 also.
It says 4.
Remove the full value of.
Mr. Helen, you want to just read it back and
Well, Mr. Chairman,
go ahead, Representative.
I would like that. And also on line 3, 7.3, I would put a period after enactment and delete line 7.4.
Oh, that's a, Mr. Chair, that's a retroactive.
Representative Dill.
That's the retroactive part, right?
That's what I'm trying to remove, Mr. Okay. Chairman.
Representative, okay.
And then also on line 7.32, delete that line, and on 7.31, put a period after enactment.
Okay, Representative Hackbart, I'm going to have Mr. Helen just read. I think you've got 4 changes, basically, but why don't we let Mr. Helen run through them?
Mr. Chair, I've got three changes. 7.1, delete the full value of 7.4, delete all that line and put a period after enactment on 7.3, and the same thing on 7.31, period after enactment, and take out 7.17. And then on 7.17, also delete the full value of.
And then I would make that motion to adopt those sections.
And Representative Hackbart, those are actually sections number 16 through 19
in the bill.
On the new bill that was adopted today by the Senate.
That would be my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion?
Can we adopt an amendment at the same time as the section?
I'd move the amendment first.
Okay, so Representative Hackbart's amendment on sections 16 through 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment adopted. Representative Hackbart.
I move those sections 16 through 19 on the Senate side.
Representative Hackbart.
We've got a question from the DNR.
Mr. Chair and members, Representative Hackbart.
Mr. Meyer.
If it is your intent to remove the retroactive piece on 7.32, I don't know if your motion included deleting that line
as
well.
It did.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's see, it's section 16 through 19. Representative Hackbart moves adoption. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. And the next ones, members, I'm going to use the new numbers are a little different than the green sheet. The next one is section 25, and I think it may be labeled 24 on our spreadsheets. And Mr. Gackle, if I say it wrong, why don't you just speak up? This is fees. This is with the youth hunt, I believe. Mr. Boggess, you better just come forward to be sure we're getting this right. If I'm not mistaken, this is just that this is. Is this not the youth hunt? Mr. Boggess.
Mr. Chair, Section 25 in the Senate side is some of Senator Saxhog's language on a senior citizen or a discounted trapping license for a person over age 65. It's the same age that currently applies to a small game license discount for a person over age 65. So it just does the same thing for trapping license that we have in current law for small game license.
So, Mr. Boggess, it probably would be inappropriate to ask us any specific senators what age they were now as well as if they were trappers. Any questions? You're nowhere near 65. Any questions? Senator Saxhog, you want to move Section 25?
I would move Section 25, Mr. Chair.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, Section 26, it'll be labeled, I believe, 25 on ours. Well, that's the one we just did.
Yep. No.
Okay.
Do 26.
So it was labeled, right?
Did we do that right there? Okay.
So where do we
next one is section 26.
Yeah, so tagging of
this is okay. Now I am getting this finally, Mr. Mayor. We're getting this. I'm learning now. This is the tagging one. We'll have to get Colonel Ham up here for this. Now this is the one, Colonel Ham, that we're talking about taking the Senate language. Colonel Ham, I am going to want you to to let us know the difference between the House and Senate language. This is an issue that Representative Cornish and I have been working on, and I think there was a misunderstanding as to what the actual language in the House and Senate. So if you want to run through real quickly the gist of the Senate language, then I would like to know the difference between the House and Senate.
Colonel Ham. Mr. Chair and members, to start with the Senate language, Section 26, page R15, if you look at lines 10.21 through 10.30, and comparing them over on the House side, which would be lines 14.21 and 14.28, those actually say, for all practical purposes, the same thing, but the Senate has it laid out in a much nicer format. So at first glance, when you look at that, it looks like there might be a lot of difference there. But for all practical purposes, they're the same, and the Senate piece is a little bit cleaner. The biggest difference between the two, Mr. Chair and members, would be those lines above it. As an example, on the Senate side, lines 10.16 through 10.18. And matching that up on the House side, lines 14.15 through 14.18. The biggest difference is the Senate does not have on line 14.17, a person may not leave the animal unattended once it has been field dressed unless the valid tag has been attached to it prescribed by the commissioner. 17 and 18, that's the biggest difference. That is not in the Senate component. And Mr. Chair and members, what that does is what we are changing here, and we've worked, the department worked closely with the Minnesota Deer Hunters on this particular language, and what that says is while the animal is being transported on the ground, you don't have to have the tag attached, and the Senate would be allowing that animal to be staying on the ground once it's been moved, and it would not have to have the tag on it. I do believe that that we can certainly work with that, Mr. Chair and members. That the officers can adjust, and I think we're going to have to do a fairly good job as a department and a division getting it in the synopsis so that it is very clear to the hunter that they can leave that deer and they can walk away from it and don't have to have that deer tagged when it's on the ground. At all the other times, it would have to be tagged. Hung in the air, anywhere, it would have to be tagged. Transported on a motor vehicle, it would have to be tagged. Put into camp, it would have to be tagged, and that's on both sides.
Well, Mr. Hamm, Colonel Hamm, so what do I hear you saying then that we want to take line 14.15 of the House language and then on the Senate language 10.21 through 10.26 and kind of put those together? Is that what?
No, Mr. Chair, what I'm saying is that Chair McNamara was asking to me to explain the difference, and I would say that the Senate side is okay,
right,
and that is the difference between the House and the Senate.
Okay.
But the Senate side.
Any questions from the members? Any questions from anyone in the audience? Mr. Kelleher? Okay, someone on the Senate side want to move that?
I'd move Section 26, the Senate side.
All right, Senator Saxog moves Section 26. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. What is the next one? Section 30.
Section 30?
No. No, that's in the old list.
Section 30 begins on page R17, and this is collecting antler sheds. Who on the Senate side wants to speak to that?
Mr. Chair,
is there Senator Saxon?
I think you note that essentially the two sides are not a lot apart, but the Senate language eliminates intent, and in generally just explains things a little differently. I think that the DNR could probably give us a brief explanation and probably figure it out.
Colonel Hamm, Section 30.
Mr. Chair, this is dealing with the artificially pulling antler sheds. Two pieces, allowing the collection of antler sheds. I'm clearly allowing it, and it is a popular pastime and a hobby. And then restricting the artificial pulling of the sheds. And I believe that, again, for all practical purposes, both sides are very close, but the Senate version is a little bit clearer, a little bit cleaner, and a little bit more detail.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion on Section 30?
A bigger pull
button. And anything from the audience? Okay, all in favor of Section 30, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, what do we got next here? 31, Section 31. And that begins at the top of R18. And that is the all-season deer license provisions. Senator Saxog, can you tell us about that?
I could, but it deals with enforcement and the rules, and probably either Mr. Bogus or Colonel Hamm could probably, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Bogus to Section 31.
Mr. Chair, members, the two are very similar, and the department had sought changes in this license so that we could allow for the buck tag on this license to be used for antlerless deer in certain areas of the state. The difference is on line 12.6 and on line 12.19, the Senate would add an additional tag to this license so that it would, we would issue three tags with the license rather than two. And there is some fiscal implication of this that we testified in the fiscal committees, because it would mean that persons buying this license would no longer have to buy one of the bonus licenses that they're currently purchasing. But it is our most expensive deer license. There's about 60,000 of them being sold, and so we did not have a concern, even though there is some fiscal impact here.
Mr. Bogus, the Senate language with the three tags is acceptable to the department?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, yes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, discussion, Mr. Senator Saxon.
I would move the buck tag.
Section 31 has been moved, Senator Saxon. Further discussion? Anyone from the audience? All in favor of Section 31, say aye.
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 Motion does carry.
32.
Section 32, same page. It's a shotgun firearms area. Shotgun area of use. Colonel Hamm, could you come up and give us a rundown on this lengthy? Or Mr. Meyer, you're coming forward?
No.
Oh, we'd like to have you.
Pretty specific language.
Yeah. Colonel Hamm, Section 32.
Mr. Chair and members, this would be changing the all legal firearms from the shotgun season up in the northwest corner a little bit. And I don't have a map here to show you how much it changes, but in looking at the language in there, the Senate language, that Section 32 looks to be accurate.
Okay. And Representative Moe, is any of this in your area? Maxine from Representative Pennis's area, for sure, right? Any questions on this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth had a pretty good idea. He visualized it pretty well. Thought it was going to be okay.
Okay. Senator Saxon, did you want to move Section 32?
I would move Section 32, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any further discussion? Colonel Hamm, any other comment?
No, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, it just, rather than sending the line way up north along Red River, it cuts it straight across, and it's more appropriate to make that area rifle season than a shot. That's all it is.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor of approving Section 32, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Section 43 on the Senate side. R43 is the repealer on R28. Senator Saxog, move that section.
I would move the repealer. Section 43, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Mr. Gackle.
Mr. Meyer, the repealer, does that have anything to do with the technical amendment and Representative Broad's issue? Should we adopt this right now?
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment that you adopted previously picks up the good faith rulemaking provision and the delayed effective date, so that would be added to the repealers, if I'm correct, Mr. Helen.
So we don't need to move this?
We need to pick up this repealer as well. I'm sorry.
So, members. So, Mr. Helen, you have that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Yeah, we already took care of Representative Broad's concern by taking out 2623 on the House side.
All right, further discussion on Section 43. Being none, all in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. K, Okay, now we're going to section 20 on the Senate side, which is back in the one, is that the one I was going
to go back to section 11 on the Senate side.
11?
We had to 11 and 20. Okay. 20 now.
20, we're on section 20 now.
Whole side. That on the whole side?
That was the one that I was trying to amend. Move it, removing the guilty.
This is the dog.
Right, we're back to it's section 27 on the House side. It's on R12. Section 20 on the Senate side. It has to do with the dogs pursuing and killing game. And my intent was is to remove is guilty of a petty misdemeanor and make this only subject to a civil penalty. But we're on this side, and so we're going to end up with. Man, look at that language. So on line 8.5 is we remove pursues a big game animal and is subject to a. So we'd remove is guilty of a petty misdemeanor on line 8.5. Is that correct?
Also on 8.3.
And also on 8.3 and 4, the same language exists.
Okay.
Yeah, that, Mr. Helen?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I had previously moved that, so I'll move section 20. Further discussion on section 20, Senate, side of R12.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think we should move on the amendment first.
All right.
And then.
All in favor of the amendment? Say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, now we are on section 20, the adoption. Do we have any further discussion on section 20 as amended? There being none, all in favor say aye.
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 Motion prevails. And now we're on section 11 of the Senate side. Seats business. Okay, who can explain that provision? I don't remember those provisions over on the Senate side. Senator Saxhog, Mr. Meyer?
Mr. Chair, members, this is a technical correction that we came in with our original bill. The Senate and committee, it was amended to read. We'll see on 3.27, and all income from state lands acquired by purchase or gift for game and fish purposes. The House language reads all income from lands acquired by the state for game and fish purposes by purchase or gift. So the Senate language provides a little bit more flexibility for us, which is what we were trying to get in the initial language that we had.
Okay. Any questions by the members of the conference committee? Anyone in the audience like to comment on this? Okay, Senator Saxhog. Okay, Senator, who would like to move that?
I would be happy to move section 11.
Okay, Senator Saxhog moves section 11. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Okay, what do we have next?
I go back to 35.
35 on the House side. Section 35 on the House side.
We couldn't agree.
35. We did not agree on this. This has to do, members, with the problem with our disagreement was over the visual and vocal, or visual or vocal, one of the two or both. So we're in section 35, it's page R16.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm going to argue in favor of the and, as Colonel Hamm so aptly pointed out, we're really dealing with kids 13 and under. And I think at ages 13 and under, we do need, if we're going to use this language, otherwise we ought to go back to the original language, because
13 and under, you ought to have that, that dual contact type of situation, because once you're 14 and have the firearm safety certificate, you're exempt from that.
Mr. Hamm, Colonel Hamm, how old do you have to be, remind me, of to get a firearm safety certificate as a youth?
Mr. Chair and members, you can take that course at age 11.
And so at age 11, you can carry a firearm with a safety certificate?
Mr. Chair and members,
12.
If you have a parent or a guardian with you, it is... up and through age 11, the firearm safety certificate is needed at age 12 and 13, you still have to have that parent or guardian. 14 and over, they can hunt alone, Mr. Chair.
So, Colonel Hamm, to get a hunting license, a youth has to have do they have to have a firearm safety certificate?
Mr. Chair and members, for big game, for the deer, for the big game and turkey, they have to have the firearm safety, which becomes a valid certificate on their 12th birthday, so it is at age 12. When they're hunting small game, they don't need a small game license until they're age 16.
Well, I'm still not in favor of the and. I'm still in favor of the or myself. Further discussion on that issue?
We have current language. It's
misinterpreted.
Mr. Chair, I guess I personally would rather see us just leave it alone and not do anything and leave it the way it is, unless accompanied rather than put in the and. I just think, truthfully, I'm concerned it's going to make almost everybody a lawbreaker when they're going, when they're hunting. You have to be maybe possibly in a dangerous situation to be in the same row in the cornfield. So,
Mr. Chair, and if you do that, I wouldn't want to lose sight of subdivision 1A, which is 16.3 on the House side and 11.25 on the Senate side. I mean, there's two pieces here. That's identical language. If we could, if you make the decision to revert back to original language, if we could keep that piece in.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative Hagler.
I would move on the House side, section 35. I would move lines 16.3, 16.4, 16.5.
That's section 36.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's section 36.
That's already
done. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Very good.
No motion before us at the present time for section 35. Further discussion on section 35? There being none, we'll move on to, what's the next step? 58 on the House side. That is on page, that's the conforming rule changes on the last page, R28. And that was, we adopted that.
We adopted it.
With the change on section 51.
So,
right?
I thought we did that.
Yeah, we did. We adopted that because Colonel Hamm came up and, Mr. Boggess, I think it was, suggested that we change to make the sections work correctly to 51. Okay? So then we have
amendment. Mr.
We have an amendment. Representative Hackbarth has an amendment. The amendment will be before us momentarily. While amendment's being passed out, any further discussion on the side-by-sides or provisions from the Senate members? Anyone in the audience like to comment on the provisions?
On which?
No, we're just talking about the provisions we talked about.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move my amendment. Members, this is an issue that's been floating around both in the Senate and the House, and I'd sure like to get this done this year. This is I've talked to the conferees on this amendment. It's a provision that most motor speedways already have in the state. There's three motor speedways that do not have this that pertains to them. Anything that was built 1983 or prior are exempt from this noise standard. We've got three racetracks in the state of Minnesota that don't have this. They were built after 83, but before 1996, and it would bring them into the same category as these other racetracks, and I would encourage folks to adopt it. Everybody's probably seen this language before.
Okay, Representative Hagbarth, are you moving House File 3496 to be included in the conference committee report?
That would be my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion by the committee.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Representative Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hagbarth, I guess, where are these three racetracks? Wouldn't that make a difference on how heavily populated an area might be? Or?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kubley, one is located down near Owatonna somewhere, Mauer County. Is it Albert?
Austin.
Near Austin. And the other, I only know of the two. One is, another one is up by Sauk Rapids, I believe. I'm not sure where the other one is, Mr. Senator Kubley. Right. That's another point. Thank you, Representative Dill. In our committee, we only had one person that testified against this, and we had a room full of people down in room 10 of the SOB that were in favor of this happening.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Hagbarth, how many racetracks are there in the state, do we know?
33.
Okay. 33.
Yep.
But the other, so the others, we're just making the others comply with the others, is that correct?
That's correct. So just bring them in compliance with the rest.
Okay.
Senator Kubley, what we're doing is making them the same as the other 30.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, further discussion on the, on House File 3496 being amended to the omnibus bill by the conference committee. Further discussion? Anyone from the audience? Okay. Representative Hagbarth renews his motion. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. So we are going to recess for 5 minutes, let staff and the legal counsel run back through this, make sure we haven't missed anything. We'll reconvene in 5 to 10 minutes, and if we have any further business, we'll do it at that time. This committee stands in recess.